Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Zero Point Radio with Dr. Christopher Holmes and me, Dee Nicholson, from the National Health Federation of Canada. And we have some phenomenal guests for you today. We're running a little bit late, so Christopher has basically stepped back from the mic and let me introduce
I didn't mean to, Dee, and I wanted to say hello, and I had wanted to tell a bit of a story even before we brought guest on.
If that's the case, Christopher, I'm sure Una won't mind waiting a moment or two.
I'm sure she won't mind.
And actually, I've got a couple of things I'd like to point out to people that are on the news front myself. So why don't you carry on with that, and then we'll get right back to our guests, because this is going to be one heck of a show.
It is another exciting show this week, Dee. Yeah, this is a Zero Point show. It's Saturday, May 12th. I like to give out the date each time. And Dee, thanks for handling last week's show. I had a good sweat with some Native brothers.
Well, I'm glad you had fun, but I'm looking forward to a report from that. I haven't had one yet, so get to it, will ya?
Okay. Before we come to our guests, we have a very interesting and important show today on smart meters, and we've got two major activists who are waking the public up to this event, to the smart meters. And I just want to tell a story for people who have followed the Zero Point show. It was just a year ago at this time that my sweetheart of 10 years had passed away last year, May 5th or 6th of last year. Karen passed away. And it's very curious how she passed away, because Karen had no history of heart problems, and we were having a very good day that day last year. And then at some point in the afternoon, Karen thought she was under attack. And she said it to me. We were working in the house. We were getting our plants ready to plant in the garden. And she felt she was under attack, and she had very loud ringing in her ears. She felt quite anxious, and she had to sit down. And within 5 minutes, she had had a heart attack, and she had no prior history of heart attacks. And at the time, I kind of dismissed her report that she was under attack, even though through the years, I thought at different times, Karen and I had both been under surveillance and attack for our activist interests and activities. And it was shocking after Karen's death. About 2 months later after that, I heard a show on smart meters, and what was reported on the show was exactly the symptomatology that Karen had. And she died 20 feet away from our smart meter. And we'll be going into the effects of smart meters today, and I want to put forward. I have some questions, certainly for our guests, to see if they consider that this possible, because what was so unusual about the whole event was how distinctly Karen thought she was under attack, and her symptomatology seems to have coincided exactly what's been reported with the smart meters. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure, Christopher, that
as we go through talking with Una St. Clair and Jerry Day, I think you're going to have some answers on both, how this is affecting our health in general, and also connecting the dots between Karen's death and the smart meter, because you may well be right. She may have died for the sake of a smart meter. And one of the symptoms that was listed even on the promo email I sent out last night, anxiety is one of the things that you suffer from. Tinnitus, which is the ringing in the ears, is one of the things people suffer from. And these are all health effects. Now, Una can fill us in on all of this stuff, and I am very, very eager to get at it with her, because a lot of people are suffering symptoms these days, and they think they're just feeling sick. They're making no connection between that and the nefarious little piece of equipment sitting on their outside wall.
Yeah, so we got lots of questions. I just wanted to bring that up, partly because it was the anniversary of Karen's death, and
yeah,
we had done a special show for her last year. And I even included in the new publication, 1137, in the new version of that, I even have a section on smart meters and bring it up in relation to her death.
Yeah. And I'm sure that
Karen's grinning like a fool
wherever she is, happy as heck that, you know, we're bringing this out. I'm quite sure she's very happy about it.
Yeah.
So
okay,
we'll
I'll hand the lead over to you, and why don't you bring on our first guest? And
I will do that. And this show will dedicate to Karen's memory. Bless her.
Thank you.
Now, our first guest is Una St. Clair, who hails from B.C. She is with Citizens for Safe Technology, and that's citizensforsafetechnology.org. For you who are listening, you might want to pop that website up on your screen so you see what we're talking about. And Una has been interviewed by me before, and she's just a wealth of information, just an absolute wealth of information. And there's absolutely nobody in Canada, I think, who has it more together in terms of not just the technical information. You know, there's a few people, Curtis Bennett, Brian Ceeson, all these different people who are, you know, really good at what they do, and they provide the technical aspects of things. But Una is on the public front. She deals with the people. She deals with the activism, and she's just one heck of a voice for all of us. And I thank you, Una, for taking time from your day today to be with us.
You're welcome. This is such an important issue because it affects every single living being, creature, thing on our planet, even our trees, our grass, anything, bacteria in the soil. So it is a massive issue. The kind of things that we're going to talk about, the authorities don't want us to talk about. So that's always a good first step. And regarding Karen, who suffered, obviously, from a sudden cardiac event, the pulsed on-off signal, so the pulsed signal that goes on and off very rapidly, specifically interferes with the electrical functioning of the heart. Now, I didn't know that the heart attack symptoms that I go to hospital for was from my Wi-Fi router. I had no idea. And my heart was incredibly disrupted, the rhythm. It would suddenly stop. I would gasp for air. And I didn't know that there was a Wi-Fi router on in my office. It had been turned on remotely by the provider. And I was completely unaware as to why I was suffering all these different health effects. But the heart was specifically disruptive and terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So that was my experience. I've since come across many people who have disrupted heart function when they're in these pulsed signals. And you've got to understand that these signals are very, very complex. And depending upon the level of water in your body, the ions in your body, all these different things, we'll have different experiences. So my heart
goes
out
to you. So if you're a dehydrated person, you're not necessarily going to suffer the same effects as a person who's well hydrated because of the conductivity of the water. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's also children, for instance, have a much higher water content and ion content in the brain, so they actually absorb the frequencies more than an adult.
I mean, you would think that would also affect pregnancies as well.
Yeah, think of a microwave oven, and 2.45 gigahertz. Is one of the functions, the 2.45 frequency is one of the functions of the smart meter. It's part of the Zigbee chip that may or may not be on in the case of Karen's situation. But 2.45 was used for microwave ovens because it's the resonance of water. So how does a microwave oven work? It vibrates the water molecule. And that's what these frequencies do to the human body. And it's specific for people have a lot of fluid. So think of a pregnant woman. The fetus floating around in all that beautiful water, and the frequencies specifically will target that situation and the fluid in the brain. I just want to back up for a second. I want to tell you, Canada is on fire about this issue. right across Canada. Now, in British Columbia, we also have stopsmartmeters.ca, and they're fighting smart meters. We also have the Coalition to Stop Smart Meters. And they, we all work together. This is just too big an issue for one group alone, and there are phenomenal people in British Columbia and right across Canada fighting this.
Yes, and I know some of them, and I know they're doing a phenomenal job. And, you know, one of the biggest problems is that most people are just walking around in a state of oblivion, not realizing what's going on, not realizing that as they sit, I mean, my landlord had one put on the side of the house. He doesn't even know it's there. The guy next door also has a smart meter. If I sit on my patio, I'm sitting between two of them. And they're talking to each other.
People have not made the link between the health conditions they're experiencing and these microwave frequencies that are now pulsating through their bodies. And there's no information about this to the average person. And doctors are being scared away from the subject. There's so much money tied up in this. The last thing they want is for doctors to get the bit between their teeth and realize patients need to be protected and they need to speak out, which is something that has to happen. The figures of people who are sensitive, the percentage is approximately 35%. And
wow.
That's expected to reach 50%. There's a scientific paper on this. 50% of the population is expected to be sensitive by 2017 based on the rate of increase in the exposures from the multiple different devices. And you've got to remember, the Health Canada guideline only applies to a six-minute public exposure. And what we've got now is people that are being exposed 24/7 to a variety of pulse-modulated, different frequencies, different on-off signals, and they're all overlapping. And if you're caught in that crosshair of a different frequencies, it absolutely can disrupt the heart to the point that it'll stop. And if you look through what's happening to young adults, there are there's a lot of cardiac arrest in healthy, otherwise healthy young people. We know that schools in Ontario, since they put in the meshed Wi-Fi systems, again, that 2.45 gigahertz, which is part of the signal from the smart meters, they've had to put defibrillators into the schools. And there are sudden deaths from cardiac arrest in these young people, which has caused them to now have new standards. What is wrong with our agencies, our teachers, our governments? They're looking at this and thinking it's normal. What is normal about a massive rise in autism that really follows the trajectory of the exposures? And as we know now, there's information and science that moms who are pregnant, they're exposed to these chronic exposures all day long. It's a lot of impact upon a growing fetus, and what their future is going to be like with what's happening, it's really scary.
Yeah, it's anybody's guess, too, because you can't tell what kind of damage is being done at the subcellular level with this stuff. I mean, the lady next door to me just gave birth about a month and a half ago, and she sits on her couch watching her TV, and right on the other side of that wall is a smart meter, and she was there the whole time she was pregnant.
Okay, well, there's problems for people that are exposed on an ongoing basis, and Dr. Carpenter from Dr. Carpenter is an expert in this whole area. He is, I'm just trying to remember, he's with the Albany School of Health, I believe. I'm just going to tell you, he's currently the director of the Institute for Health and the Environment at the University of Albany and professor of environmental health sciences. And he's produced a paper, an expert opinion for Quebec, and talking about smart meters. And he has done basically a state of the science report. He's reporting to government, look, this is where the science is at. So here's what he's saying. Human studies of these kind of smart meter radiation show changes in brain function, including memory loss, retarded learning, performance impairment in children, headaches and neurodegenerative conditions, melatonin suppression and sleep disorders, fatigue, hormonal imbalances, immune regulation such as allergic and inflammatory responses, cardiac blood pressure problems, genotoxic effects such as miscarriage, cancers such as childhood and adult leukemia and childhood and adult brain tumors. So the list goes on. There is absolutely science that shows the risks, but this is the last thing that the government, entwined with industry, wants public to know. And Plan for Smart Meters was put together before the World Health Organization came out with the reclassification May 2011, which said these frequencies are possible to cause human cancer. So we have the first time in history a possible human cancer risk forced upon every single home, every single child, every single living thing in our communities, on our streets, in our air. The electropollution is so intense. You've got houses all around you. You've got the routers. And that's not even the worst of it. The worst of it is the kinds of frequencies that are permeating the whole electric grid. And I don't know if any of you drive around with your AM radio on. But pay attention.
I don't drive. I drive a scooter with no radio. But
okay, but
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, go tell us the rest.
Yeah, when you drive under the power lines, we've been noticing it here, more and more hissing and buzzing and fuzz will just drown out your radio station. This is dirty electricity and harmonic disturbance on the lines. Our power
grid. Yes, and it's the same kind of deal as when we used to, before the days of cable, if somebody drove by and had a short in their electrical system in their car, you'd hear their car idling and then speeding up with tick,
right.
Tick, 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 tick on your TV, and it would get static interruption with somebody drove
That's
by.
Right.
And I've noticed that for the first time, actually last week, interesting you should mention it, because last week was the first time in a long time that I actually saw that happen on my TV.
Well, it's polluting the whole grid, which means every single space in our communities and our neighborhoods, which need to be safe, and our homes are being polluted. And we have started a human rights action, Citizens for Safe Technology, to support people's medical diagnosis where their doctors are advising them to protect their health. BC Hydro is completely ignoring this. BC Hydro is acting like a thug, a bully. It even worse than that. To me, it's
unconscionable. Well, let's get into that in just a moment. I just have a thought that I want to toss out to you right now, because, you know, when you tell somebody, look, we have a problem with this, and you prove to them that there's a problem, and they ignore you, to my mind, that makes it deliberate. Now, I also read last week in a release that was sent to me, that one of the Corex representatives, or one of the BC Hydro representatives, I should have said, at, I believe it was the May 2nd meeting in Vancouver, actually said that the smart meters are a new international standard. Well, hang on a minute. If they're an international standard, then why isn't that standard published? And why is it that we're just being told it's an international standard? I mean, that smacks to me of all these free trade agreements where all these things are becoming standardized and harmonized, and nobody's being consulted about it. And here, for the first time, a BC Hydro official comes out and says it's the international standard. Well, by whose designation?
Well, it could be an international standard, but it doesn't need to be damaging people's health. It could be wired through fiber optics. It could be wired through the phone lines. Both of those are not going to cause the health issues that we're seeing now and will develop. But the whole issue is whose benefit is this? This is all about, supposedly on one level, about buying and selling green energy. But really, when you dig down under this, is there a more sinister situation going on? Because
me thinks that the only green involved comes in the form of dollar bills, because as Ontario consumers have discovered, there was a huge outcry. Over a third of the homeowners who had their smart meters installed were reporting to the government they had massive increases in their hydro bills, massive increases. Well, and this was supposed to be a money saver. And then we find out the darn things are antennae. And they'll be processing the Wi-Fi signals coming off your neighbor's computer router and passing it through the meter as a power use. This is what I'm hearing. And if that's the case...
I am hearing that story as well. Yeah,
well, if that's the case, we're all paying for everybody else's use.
These meters have not been tested properly. They're rolling them out at some mad dash speed. And this is where I get to why. Why, when we're going into a time of increased solar activity, which can produce electromagnetic pulse, such as the Carrington event that happened in 1859, which basically burnt up every telegraph wire, why are they rolling this extremely vulnerable system out right before 2013, 2014, the most active time on the solar cycle? And if there is an EMP that comes, a coronal mass ejection with this big problem, we will totally lose our power grid. And this makes it power surges. These meters are dangerous for homes when you have power surges. The analog meter was not so impacted, but these ones, they just pop. So we're going into a time where the whole world is getting a totally vulnerable system, and Harvard has produced a paper called Who Controls the Off Switch? And it talks about if your power is out for 7 days in any community, in any society, it's akin to a nuclear bomb going off. So that is another huge frailty and vulnerability of this whole grid that is that the government wants to shut down all discussion on. They don't want anybody to talk to the public about this issue.
And they, you know, I mean, it's one of a number of issues. We can't claim exclusivity on it either, because the same thing is going on with our water. They're not telling us what they're doing about our water. And they've given it away. But, you know, they're not telling Canadians any of that. But the more I look at here, the more shocked I am that these people are putting obvious problems into our laps. And the evidence, the scientific evidence, the studies, everything in support of saying, no, you should never expose the environment to this. This is messing with the subcellular nature of being here. And, you know, they're doing it anyway, and people are just walking around going, duh. To me, this is the most mind-boggling situation going. And, you know, this is not a slight on all those people. I mean, there are so many activists, as you pointed out earlier. There's so many activists across Canada who are making a stink about this, who are making it very, very well known. And yet people are walking around oblivious. And because they're walking around oblivious, the government is getting away with this.
Well,
and they're ignoring
people
like the CST and Stop Smart Meters. They're ignoring all the science. And to me, it's just the most mind-boggling, overt criminality that I've seen in a very, very long time.
The average person cannot be blamed, because they're inoculated against the truth with very slick advertising and marketing. It has billions of dollars behind it. We've never had a situation like this in our planet before, at least that we know of, where every single person is being exposed either voluntarily or involuntarily to such a poison. It's not like tobacco. It's not like any of the other situations that we've had. It's a close personal contact. And we know that the microwave frequencies really change the brain function. And a lot of people have this sense of extreme exhaustion and fatigue, of irritability, of memory problems. And, you know, at the same time, they're addicted to the constant connectivity, and we've seen some studies out of universities that show this connectivity works with the pleasure centers in the brain almost as a drug would do. So we've got a recipe for disaster with people addicted to a very dangerous technology, and the industry is entwined with government. The government's not warning the people enough. There are warnings in Europe, but still all the protection, all the precautionary measures are not fast enough.
They're not in depth enough, and they're not getting out the way they should. You know, I mean, it's very, very poor communication on the part of government with anyone. And, of course, what pops up in my mind, bingo, bango, Agenda 21. Mm-hmm. It's like they're deliberately trying to harm us.
I want people to, there's something that people can do, and it's quite easy. If they go onto our website, there is, under the smart meter action, there's a smart meter, facts about smart meters. That's a great thing to download and hand out to neighbors. And under the signs on our website, we have a section for signs. There's a sign about that lists all the health effects of the most common health effects that people would experience from microwave radio frequency exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And get that out into the community. Print them out, carry them in your shopping bag, or give them to people, because this is a grassroots effort. We have to spring up like weeds under the feet of government and industry trying to trample knowledge down. And this is the way that people can do it. We've given them the tools on our website, citizensforsafetechnology.org, and people need to take it upon themselves, because I can't look after my family and think that I'll ignore this. This is an issue that is affecting every single living creature, whether it's a bee or whether it's my child or whether it's my child's friend or me or whomever. We are all in the soup together. And in fact, it's that old story of the frogs in the water.
Being boiled slowly, yes.
The frogs are put in the cold water in the pot, and slowly the heat is turned up. And until it's boiling, and the frogs don't notice it until it's too late, and of course, they're done for. So we're in that same situation, and it's getting close to boiling.
The technology reminds me also of chemtrails. I mean, and that they're affecting all Canadians and the environment. And I mean, we've been sprayed with aluminum, barium, strontium, heavy metals, viral matter, and so on for 15 years. Seems to be a similar kind of pattern. I mean, I see them both as part of Agenda 21. I wonder, do you see that as part of what's the hidden agenda behind smart meters?
Well, I think
population reduction and spreading sickness.
Yeah. It's really hard to know how deep this goes, because you can go down the rabbit hole and not come up for air. But regarding chemtrails, any time that any biological system, a human, animal, or whatever, has a high dose of metals or heavy metals, they're going to be more susceptible to the effects of microwave radio frequency.
Technologies are acting hand in hand.
They can, definitely. I mean, if you want to try and recover from something like electrohypersensitivity, one of the things you need to do is a metal detox. You need to get the metals out of your system, because that acts as a microwave radio frequency signal. So those people who have high levels of metals, and of course, we're all being exposed now, and so it's almost guaranteed that you breathe, you're going to be having damage to your system from a combined effect. I think the combined biological effects, we're seeing a growth of people with multiple chemical sensitivities, immune system disorders, allergic responses, which all come back down to the body is really struggling. The cells are damaged definitely by microwave radio frequency. There's no question about that. So everything is working hand in hand to basically destroy the strength and the health of humans and everything living. It's not just us. I mean, we're hearing of people with the microwave auditory effect specifically from smart meters. As soon as those things go in, people start to notice a buzzing in their ears, a white noise in their ears, high-pitched whine, really high-pitched noises. Think about what animals are feeling. Think about deer or rabbits or dogs. Gosh, we have so many reports about dogs. Smart meters go in, and they're crying and crying, and they're agitated, and they can't sleep in their beds anymore. So what are we doing? We are literally assaulting every living thing. And we've got industry that's pushing its agenda through the government. And you asked me about Agenda 21. it's hard to tell where one thing stops and another thing begins, but there's no question that people are being impacted, animals are being impacted, the bees are being... We get reports of the smart meters going in and sudden deaths of bees from hives if people are having them in their backyard, and suddenly those smart meters start pulsing. We get reports of people finding the bees all disoriented. They're all dying in the window ledges of their house after smart meters go in. They've never seen anything like it before.
Well, I tell you, I've had some changes in echinacea that I had growing in my, that's cornflower, that I had growing in my garden. And the heads of these flowers got all discombobulated. They're supposed to be a cone. And the actual shape of them was a cone, all right, but then there would be what looked like a tumor growing out of the side of the cone. And the petals, instead of being purple, turned white on one side of the flower. Which side of the flower was it that turned white? Well, guess. It's the one closest to the smart meter. And these are partially shielded because of a brick chimney that it, that blocks the waves from direct contact. Of course, it's got metal inside it. But I think they're being affected by the smart meter on the other side of my patio, on my neighbor's house. And I only noticed that after the smart meter went in. And yes, I've had the tinnitus, and I don't have dogs. I have cats. I have one cat who seems to be super sensitive because every once in a while he'll go to the window and just howl his face off. No reason at all. And what people are doing with their animals, they're going, oh, take him to the vet. And the vet gives them anti-anxiety medications and sends them home.
I know, they're putting animals on anti-anxiety medication. And if you look at what's happened to anti-anxiety medications for young people right through the spectrum, it's sleep disorders and anxieties. These are the medications and depressions that are just going through the roof, the increase in them. Now, the other issue is that many of these exposures are not reversible, and that is why Dr. Carpenter and other scientists are calling for the immediate enactment of the precautionary principle, which is called for when there's serious, potentially irreversible
condition. You know what? So, interestingly enough, Una, you mentioned the precautionary principle, and the precautionary principle is something that what I've found in health activism can be used in two different ways. And the first way that it has been used has been to demonize natural health products. And they're saying, well, we have to make sure that they're safe. And, of course, that's a tough one to argue against, isn't it? Well, the problem with the precautionary principle is it can be arbitrarily applied to things that are not dangerous at all and make people allow regulations that they ordinarily would not accept. On the other hand, if we, the people, turn the precautionary principle around and say, wait a minute, you're harming us. We say, and the science says, we're being harmed. So if you're going to be so stuck on your ding-blasted precautionary principle, why in the flying blue blazes are you not applying it here?
Because the precautionary principle is manipulated by governments and their agencies to suit whatever the financial situations are at that time. And the other thing, we want people to feel empowered. We really do. This is not a done deal. This, if people join together, and people are joining together around the world, you can't find a country where they're not fighting smart meters. Vermont has passed in their legislature, has passed a no-fee opt-out. And this is what we need to be demanding, along with a full moratorium and transparent public hearing process. A no-fee opt-out.
Well, absolutely, because, I mean, why should we be paying for something we're not using? They're turning around and saying, well, it has to be an opt-out fee because of the fact that if it's an analog meter, it has to be read in person.
Okay.
Well, no, it doesn't.
So there's no reason to do that. A person can take their camera out, can take a photograph of the meter readout, and can email it in and can do it on a schedule. There's no reason not to work with the customer. The problem is that the utilities are disrespectful. They have an agenda that they're trying to shove down people's throats. They are not willing to work honorably or respectfully with their customers, and so they don't want to find a solution to this problem. Now, in BC, a smart meter cost installed on the side of the house is a ridiculous amount. It's double that from Quebec for whatever reason, no doubt greed and corruption, but it's about $550 to have a smart meter installed on the side of anybody's house. Meanwhile, there's no cost to leaving the analog meter there. There's no cost to having somebody take a digital photo and email it in. There's no cost in meter readers or any of those things. But there's a lot of talk about, well, you know, meter readers, we need to help the environment. You can't have them driving around. What another bunch of baloney that is. Put them in electric vehicles. Put them in the natural gas vehicles. We've got all kinds of new technology for having zero impact. Put them in veggie oil vehicles. But meter readers themselves have always been the eyes and the ears on the ground for the utility company. They know before any other, putting helicopters in the air to look for infrared, they know where the grow-ops are. It's a lot less costly. So,
somebody using an illegal dryer in an apartment can make it look like a grow-op. You know, hydro use by itself is not an indicator that something illegal is going on, but, you know, pardon me all the hell, it's not like every second house in your neighborhood is a grow-op. So using that as a security concern, making people think that it's some kind of a law enforcement tool, is totally ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
And the other thing is that the people that are doing the grow-ups professionally that are going to use lots of power, they have the ability to access the top technology people around. They can pay for very highly qualified hackers to get into the wireless system to manipulate the data so BC Hydro or any other utility company would never know. They would never know. The data would not show up that there's any extra power use. It can be manipulated and nobody will know. Just like if this system is hacked and it's taken down and generators are destroyed and all that kind of thing through cyber terrorism, there's no way they will know until after the damage has been done. Just like there's no way that they know that that digital data is secure or accurate. They don't know. They only will know after. So these things can be hacked. In Germany, a couple of basic hackers took a couple of days to get into the power grid. And our power grid, everything is being hacked. It doesn't matter if you're the Ministry of Defense or if you're, the drones or banks or security firms, they're all being hacked. And
yeah,
here again,
if they can be built, they can be hacked.
Here again,
bottom line, there's no such thing as safe.
Why are they rolling out a grid worldwide that has such frailties, such vulnerability, that will put, think of all the people in high-rises and all the people in houses. What would happen if you have no light, no heat, no water, no sewer, no banks, no gas, no stores, nothing?
Well, we found that out a few years ago when we had that East Coast power blackout. And I know my house was without power for 2 days. I was one of the lucky ones, because some people were without power for a week. And you're right, it is devastating. You got no way to store your food. You got no way to cook your food. You got no water. You got no phone. You got nothing.
Experts are saying from around the world that if this grid comes down, the damage that happens either through cyber terrorism or an electromagnetic pulse with our more active solar flares, it's going to be out for 3 to 5, I've even read 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The UK government is warning the people of this risk. Are we being warned in Canada? Are they even paying attention to it? We've had David Chalk, who's one of our local experts in technology. He's issued a challenge to take him on, and he said, "Look, I'll take the grid down. I'll show you how it can be done."
Now, wouldn't that be interesting? And then we have people like Curtis Bennett, who is probably one of the most qualified people in the world to speak about this stuff, And Curtis Bennett makes all kinds of presentations to Parliament. He sends them all kinds of information. Those guys have been fully informed. They have no excuse. No excuse whatsoever. Because I've seen the stuff that Curtis has sent out. It is awesome stuff, and I know you agree with that. Curtis is very, very famous.
I absolutely agree. Curtis has the situation in the palm of his hand. He's looked at the regulations, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, look, these frequencies are stimulating the nerve and muscle tissue, which is to be avoided. And so these frequencies are illegal because they're going against even the guidelines of Safety Code 6. And Safety Code 6 is a piece of useless garbage. It's got no protection for anything other than people who are going to have thermal exposure, so their temperature is going to increase by more than 1 degree over 6 minutes. And remember again, Safety Code 6 is based on a 6-minute exposure of a 6-foot, 200-pound male adult. It is not based on chronic long-term exposure. There's no safety for children in there, no safety for pregnant women. Our society is
we're in serious
under,
trouble.
We are
we're
in
under
serious
attack.
Trouble. We're
we
under
are.
Attack.
Yeah.
And visible attack.
Our government has essentially been hijacked. I mean, it happened long ago, but it's just more evident now. I did have a couple of questions, specific questions I wanted to ask you, Una. You said that they could hook these smart meters up through the telephone lines or using fiber optics. So there's no reason
Absolutely.
For... Okay, so that's really important. So if they wanted that technology, they could take that option. Now, a second question I had... I watched my smart meter on the side of the house, and it at one moment will show like 888, like where it's not reading, and then it'll flash to a number, then it goes back to 888, and then it'll flash a number. Is it every time it's showing those numbers, is it irradiating at each time? Like this, it switches about every 5 seconds.
Okay, so you want to understand there's about three distinct signals that your smart meter is sending out, all smart meters send out. Number one is the information data on the power used, and that's 3 to 6 times a day. A signal will go out, zap, that shows your power usage, not in real time. It's going out. So it's, you know, they say you can see it in real time. Well, it's not. It's going out 3 to 6 times a day. Now, there's another set of signals that are the synchronization signals, where the smart meters in the whole area all work together to synchronize. And that's, I don't know how they're synchronizing, but they're going out.
Goodness.
And then there's also the third set of signals, which is the mesh management, network mesh management. Now, the average number of signals per smart meter, based on court-ordered documents for iTron meters through the California Public Utilities, the average signals are 14,000 per 24-hour period, up to over 200,000 per 24-hour period.
Wow!
So the average is a signal every 6 seconds, but some are sending out 2 signals every 6 seconds. The ones that I've measured are every 3 seconds, or we've measured some every 7 seconds. So when BC Hydro or the utility companies say, oh, there's only like 3 or 6 signals per 24-hour period, they're only talking about the meter read data. They are not talking about the thousands of other signals that we look at this and go, why? Why is it necessary to have these constant signals that interfere with brain function? And military studies have shown how these alter brain function. And now we have a device on the side of everybody's house that has the ability to change brain function. That's a bit scary to me.
Wow.
There's a couple of big lies we can just address quickly. All the utilities go, it's only for a minute per day or less than a minute per day. So I want you to think, if somebody follows you around 24/7 and they flash a strobe light in your face, they're flashing a strobe light every 3 seconds or every 6 seconds, you're getting splashed. by the end of a 24-hour period, you're going to really feel awful, and you're going to say, wow, I was flashed with this strobe light all day long. Now, the person doing the flashing could say, no, you weren't. It was only a minute, because the millisecond exposure of the strobe light, when you add that up, it only comes to a minute, even though it's constant all through the day. So that's the game they play. That's the game. And they'll say it's less than a minute exposure.
For purpose.
Another question I had. What is the power requirement to send these signals? Like, is this not a major use of electricity to run these meters?
It is. It's throwing away. Absolutely. And people have to pay for that throwing away of wireless electricity use, and also the collector points that are on the street, the routers that are on the street. We're throwing away power. Anything that is wireless.
Well, we always worry. You know, I had a conversation a couple of years ago with a fellow by the name of Dave Cook. Now, Dave Cook is another one of our really, really great Canadian experts. He runs an alternative power company out of Ayr, Ontario, just north of Kitchener. And he makes alternative power units, wind and solar. And he was telling me, and I was absolutely gobsmacked by it, he said that the actual power use on your hydro bill, and this is with analog meters, this was not with smart meters, he said that with the system the way it sat, the hydro that we are paying for represents only 29% of our bill. In other words, we're paying 71% of our bill is for things other than hydro usage. And he said, that's scandalous, because the system was wasting power left, right, center, and sideways. Now we've got a system in place, and really all that they say that they're aiming for, if you only take it from a monetary aspect and forget all the health issues and environmental issues that are attached to this, you're still dealing with monetary theft in the billions and billions of dollars. Because you've still got dirty power on the grid itself. Nothing's changing in terms of the way the power is being supplied. So you've still got dirty power throughout the grid, and now you got these things pumping out dirty waves of EMF, and they're costing us millions in order to operate that system, as Christopher rightly pointed out, and as you agreed. So where is our money going?
It's
our money isn't going anywhere that's healthy for us, mm-hmm. and what we're getting back is death and destruction.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this to me is blatantly criminal.
We hear from people on fixed incomes, and their bills go from $50 a month to $350 or every 2 months. And those people who are on fixed incomes, people elderly or disabled or whatever, they call and they're just told, oh, you must have used more power. And these can be people that have no way of paying that extra $1,000. I mean, we've got people who've had a bill of $1,800 or $2,400.
Yeah, well, you know what?
They have to choose to leave their home.
Our next show on the 26th features Shelley Ann Clark. Now, Shelley Ann Clark is the lady who was the executive assistant to the Canadian delegation for the U.S. and Canada Free Trade Agreement in 1988, and she exposed a lot of stuff to do with that. She contacted me about a week and a half ago, and told me that with her smart meter, her hydro bill went up to $500 a month. It was threatening to flatten her and force her to lose her home.
Wow.
And she thought
exactly.
It was a government attack on her, and really it's just a government attack on everybody.
It's happening around the world. And one of the issues is obviously these meters, these wireless meters, are impacted by other wireless signals in the environment, which when they take them off and test them in a controlled environment, they're not duplicating the possible wireless exposures from all the different things. That may be the neighbor's cordless phone or Wi-Fi or whatever. And Also, these meters register the spikes in use. So when a device is turned on, it has a spike in the use. And suddenly, Hydro is able to get way more money just from turning on the light switch because the analog meter couldn't register that spike in use. Are you with me on that?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, they
so
add
in other words,
spike,
the smart meter
so the meters can read it. I see. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They're more
and
sensitive
it's also
to
acting
that.
As an antenna and picking up on Wi-Fi signals from other people's devices as well as your own and processing it as though it were Hydro use.
We tell people that there's a way they can check their meter, and we're getting reports back. If you very carefully or with the help of an electrician turn off each one of your individual breakers and then turn off your master switch to your house, your big power breaker there, and then go out and look at your meter. And people are telling me all the time the meter keeps running when there's no power in the house.
Wow. Wow. Now that is fraud. As far as I'm concerned, doesn't it sound like fraud to you?
We've seen a meter on the side of a house that's about to be demolished. The electrical supply is being cut 100%, and that meter's still going. And people are talking about they turned them off, and they're still going.
Wow.
Wow.
So well, there's an overriding charge that is on top of the whole thing. So people better start shouting about this, because if it doesn't get you, if it doesn't make you sick because of your health, it's going to make you sick because of your pocketbook.
Exactly.
And then the risk overall for putting in a vulnerable and frail system when we're seeing worldwide cyber terrorism just astronomical. In fact, the U.S. knows it has no way of protecting their grid from cyber terrorism. So David Chalk has told us that they have legislature they're going to pass that states if anybody messes with their power grid through cyber terrorist activities or hacking, the retaliation would be with a nuclear strike. Now, how stupid is that to have a power grid that the only way you think you can protect it is by threatening a nuclear strike?
On one hacker?
Where are they going to... Well, no, they're thinking about another country or an organization taking down the U.S. power grid. It would destroy the U.S.
But then one person could do that.
Well,
one person, they don't have to be.
This would be high level hacking operations, and there are countries that are putting a lot of effort into cyber terrorist activities.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I would think the smart meters constitute a terrorist activity being perpetrated against us. It is a form of terrorism.
It is, because we're certainly being forced into it on pain of what? And then look at all the stories that I've heard coming from people that you're connected with, Una, that are talking about how Corex in BC is violating trespass laws and committing vandalism. And then there's the stories about houses catching fire.
They're like Nazi thugs. And they're paid piecemeal, so they're given, let's say, 100 meters at the beginning of the day, and they're doing whatever they can. They're frightening old ladies. They're abusing people. They're forcing it on people. They're threatening to cut off the power, that they'll bring the police back. There's one or two instances where people have said, you know, over my dead body, I'm going to have this meter. Well, the next thing you know, Corex or BC Hydro calls the police or the RCMP and says this person is at danger. We've had people carted off for psychiatric evaluation because they're refusing a smart meter.
Oh, my God.
And yep, we have. And so this, we also, BC Hydro has manipulated through our public health officials to warn doctors not to support people presenting with electrohypersensitivity symptoms. They're trying to stop the human rights action by making doctors scared to speak out.
Oh, my God. And so people should really be going to their doctors and asking them if they would support. Because
we have a full doctor's information package. If they go on the website, it's under the health EHS action kit, health action kit.
I think I'm going to have to send that one out to my list. because, yeah, you know, everybody so I know has a doctor.
Doctors have an obligation. They have an obligation, but they're frightened. They're part of an organization that can be manipulated. And so we need brave people. We need people that say, enough is enough. We have a free country. It's obvious that the threat is from within, and we have to fight to maintain a good, honest country that does not attack its citizens, that is not attacking those most vulnerable, children, pregnant women, the elderly, the disabled, people with all kinds of health conditions, because that's what this whole program does. We have gone from being a good place to live to being a place that I'm listening to people telling me, I'm going back to Germany, they say. I'm going back to the UK where it's voluntary. Nobody's mm-hmm. getting forced to have smart meters. People tell me they're going back to the Netherlands, which turned this program down flat because of privacy issues.
Yeah. So I'd tell people to move to Vermont too, except for the fact that Vermont just turfed their GMO labeling on a threat from a lawsuit from Monsanto. So I guess they were more afraid of the people on the smart meter issue than they are on the GMOs because they dropped that legislation. But, you know, it's just, as you point out, you know, it's getting so crazy. It's getting so nuts out there. And we have to take that responsibility. We have to.
Now, there's one thing I have to tie into this, and I know you have another guest, but a lot of parents are beginning to understand that the Wi-Fi models that they're putting in the schools and they're microwaving kids against the parents' consent day in, day out. And a lot of kids are actually getting sick with headaches and nausea and dizziness and all kinds of things. So there's a tie-in here. Parents are asking public health officials to make schools safe, to have wired computers like they've always had, and take the Wi-Fi out of schools. Our government will not make schools safe, because if they did acknowledge there was a problem with the microwave radio frequencies, they'd have to acknowledge that smart meters are a problem.
Yeah,
so children have become political patsies for a smart grid program. They can't say any of this is unsafe because they're pushing out the smart grid program. So now we have this impact where people are involuntarily exposed in their home against their will. Their children are getting involuntarily exposed to a known cancer-causing cancer risk agent in schools. There are many kids presenting with health concerns, and this whole thing all rolls up together. If they don't want you to say that cell towers are unsafe, even though the studies are showing increased rates of cancers in the vicinity. India just took down 300 of their antennas.
Wow!
And
good.
Now Christy Clark has made a deal with an Indian cell phone company to come into BC and push their product when they're getting kicked out of India for overexposing the people, and the people are getting sick.
So, and they're doing the same thing with asbestos. They're shipping asbestos over there,
yeah,
even though everybody else won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Same deal. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. But as you point out, you know, we do have Jerry Day coming on momentarily, so we kind of run
fantastic.
Out our time.
He's a hero.
Yes, he is. He's something else entirely, this boy. And I'm really looking forward to talking to him. But in the meantime, before we say goodbye to you, could you please, again, direct our listeners to your website and to any other website that you feel would do them good? Because people, if you're listening, you need to be on these websites. You need to do the investigation. You need to stand up. If you don't, it's only your life and your children's lives that are at stake. I mean, what the hell? You know, but Una, thank you so much. Go for it. Give us the websites.
Okay, so our website is citizensforsafetechnology.org, and we are most concerned with the health effects. Then there is the Coalition to Stop Smart Meters, and the Coalition is looking at all the problems. And then there is, for anybody living in British Columbia, go to stopsmartmeters.ca, and that is the same action as brought down the HST. And we need to get rolling with that as well. We, CST and the Coalition, have joined together to bring legal actions forward. We've got a BC Court of Appeal action going and the human rights, etc. But we don't know what's going to work. And the last thing that we need to look at being able to do if everything fails is we need to get the HST-type referendum. And so that's at stopsmartmeters.ca. And people can register for that, and that would be something that rolls the whole thing back, the Clean Energy Act.
Yes, and let's go, Ontario. We have a third of the population of this country within our borders, and BC is the bellwether for all of this. BC showed us the way on the HST. BC is showing us the way. I mean, why? Did all the smart people move to BC or what? I don't get it, but Ontario really has to step up their game big time because we're all at risk here. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll definitely have to have you back again sometime later in the year and see where we're headed with this stuff. And hopefully in the interim, people will start to get their act together.
Well, they are. There's a lot of good people beginning to fight or fighting in Ontario. And, there's no shame against the Ontario people. This was rolled out so fast before the world had figured out what the heck it was.
Yeah, and they hit us blindside. They never told us a ding-blasted thing. They said they were working on our hydro line, and that was it. That's all we were told.
That's right. You're just being treated like a little mushroom.
Uh-huh.
Kept in the dark and piled high with you-know-what.
Yeah. Kept in the dark and fed manure. So there you go. But, Una, thank you so much. I wonder, do we have Jerry on the line yet?
I don't know. Maybe Don or Doug in the BBS can get Jerry on the line. And
I was just waiting. If you wanted me to pull one guest off and bring on the other, but what I can't do is just bring the other guest on.
Yeah, let's just find him, and we'll say a fond farewell to Una, and thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll definitely be in touch.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Una.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, wow.
Wow, didn't that go quick? Dee, I can't believe how fast that hour went.
Well, never mind. Wait till you see the next hour, because our Jerry Day, who's going to be on with us momentarily, Jerry has so many videos that he... Now, he's a filmmaker, and he does all kinds of stuff. He's won an LA Emmy. He's no slouch in the filmmaking department. And he has made a number of YouTube videos. If you just go onto the YouTube.com site and in the search bar put Jerry Day plus smart meters, you're going to be shown a whole bunch of videos that give all of the down and dirty on smart meters and what's being done in California, which is another bellwether state in terms of their ability to get this information out to the public and the fight that they've been putting on. Now, Jerry, very interestingly, will be talking about smart meter replacement kits, how you can legally get out of having smart meters put on your house and what you can do to get rid of them. He's got documents that he shares for both the U.S. and Canada, and these are all available through his website. I'm not sure if it's his, but he's definitely involved in it. It's called freedomtakers.com.
I think we have our guest on here.
Jerry?
Are you there?
Yes, how are you doing today, folks? I just wanted to correct one thing. That website is freedomtaker.com, no S.
Okay, great. Well, yep. We're going to definitely make sure that people go there in the course of the interview. And, Jerry, welcome, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
I don't know if you were listening in when Una St. Clair was on, but I can tell you she calls you a hero.
I think
you're a hero.
No, she's brainier than I am, I think. No.
And it's awesome. It really is.
Thank you.
It's so graphically necessary for people to see, the actual effects, and YouTube is such a medium for that. And we thank you so much for putting all this stuff and making it publicly available. But the thing that really is foremost in my mind right now is, what's going on in California? Because we know, we've seen all the reports coming out that Californians are really stepping up to the mark. They're really angry. They're going through all kinds of hell. And they're fighting back amazingly,
in part led
by you. So what's the story down there?
Well, they made the mistake, Pacific Gas and Electric made the mistake of going into Santa Cruz early on, and with digital meters. Now, people in Santa Cruz largely are engineers. They're in the tech sector. They're in these high science businesses, and they know exactly what these meters are. And they look at these and they go, "What are you thinking, putting something like this on someone's home?" And the more you know about electromagnetics, the more you know about electricity, the more you know about radiation, the more you look at these meters and you just go, no, this is absolutely not appropriate for living spaces. And so these people up in, you might say, upper mid-California, just north of San Francisco, Santa Cruz, around there, you know, this is one of the centers probably of the country, if not the world. And so these people just went ballistic, and there were literally protests in the street, you know, we step back and you look at how this works. The people who understand electromagnetics and radiation are opposed to these meters, and the only people that are in favor of them are those who are vested in the meter industry in some way or electric industry. So it's very clear when you look at you know, who you're dealing with and what their position is. There's never been, you know, in my lifetime, a massive groundswell, grassroots opposition to something as simple as a meter replacement program. Obviously, something's wrong here, and it is wrong, and as I said, the more you know about electromagnetics, the more you realize that these meters seem to have some designs that are deliberately put in to harm people and to certainly conduct unlawful surveillance on them.
Yeah, that surveillance issue, I was kind of holding off on that one. We didn't discuss that with Una because her concerns are more with health. But that surveillance aspect is a really scary one to me because it seems to be that everything that we are dealing with across the planet, I mean, it's not exclusively smart meters, but everything that we're dealing with, our computers, our web access, everything is being surveyed. And, you know, we all heard about Echelon years ago and how all our emails and our phone calls were being scrutinized one way or another, that they were picking up on keywords and all this kind of stuff. And this stuff here, the smart meter technology, and I don't know why people aren't kind of connecting the two. Everybody and their dog is a Star Trek fan, and they all know what a phase shifter does. They all know what phasers do and Romulan disruptors. And essentially with a smart meter, we have a Romulan disruptor on our wall.
Well, I guess I'm not quite up on the whole Romulan thing, but what we have is something that causes poor health in two ways. It has the high energy density data transmission radiation, and then it has the electrosmog, which is caused by the switching mode power supply in the meter. Of course, the meter has what's called this switching mode power supply. It converts AC to DC so that it can steal electricity from you to run itself. It has to run the digital meter, it has to run the transmitter, it has to run the data storage facility in the meter. All of that takes electricity and actually a substantial amount of it. This is not just a paltry little trickle. This is, you're going to pay for this. And they're charging you for the electricity they use to conduct surveillance upon you.
Lovely.
So how's that for it? Yeah, yeah. talk about gall.
I mean, that's adding insult to injury, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And so that switching mode power supply disrupts the incoming current. The sine wave is disrupted. That's called creating dirty electricity or electrosmog. And every digital meter has one. And some people say, oh, I don't have to worry. Mine's not a smart meter. Well, no, a smart meter is just one brand name for digital meters. And there's no such thing, in my view, as a good digital meter. They all do this. They all disrupt your incoming current.
Well, you know, the meter on the side of my wall is an Elster meter.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to take a little closer look. After the show, I'm going to take a magnifying glass out and get on a chair to look at this thing because it's got some fine print with the number. And if you go onto the website, they tell you exactly what the capabilities of the meter are. But I'm hearing, you know, there's Elster, there's Corix, and there's all these different types of meters that are out there. But as you point out, they all do the same thing.
Yeah,
you know,
they're all made to strict standards. Yeah, in fact, you know, I was surprised when I got into the whole meter thing that the people in Canada's, you know, we can take one of our meters off of one of our houses and send it to Canada. They put it on theirs. It works fine. It's very standardized internationally.
Isn't that wonderful?
No,
so
it's not standardized
for
Europe.
When BC Hydro said that they have a new international standard, who in the flying hell set this standard, and why don't we know about it in advance?
Well, we're not considered parties to meter design, and if they want to create standards of simply standards of design, that just means that if I unplug it here, I can plug it in there, and it works. We have the same voltages, we have the same processing, you know, the same physical connections. So, you know, that's fine. You know, nothing wrong with standardization, especially when it comes to electric meters, because, you know, why do we need different types of electric meters?
Yeah,
those
it's not about the standardization. It's about the purpose behind it.
Yeah, yeah. So if the meter is damaging, if the meter is injurious to anyone, and you've standardized that, you're admitting you're making millions, you know, you're injuring people by the millions. So yeah, in that sense, you don't want to standardize something that's harmful. Well, digital meters are clearly harmful. But meters were standardized, you know, well before there were digital meters.
Yeah,
that's just part of the game.
I wondered, would you know anything? I'm thinking of Europe, where they use a different form of current than we do. We use AC, they use DC.
Yeah.
How would that affect their usage over there with these meters?
Yeah, well, they do have a whole different, specification of metering. But the same idea. If they have DC meters, and I actually wasn't sure that they were AC or DC, but if you're right, and Europe has DC meters, they may have a far less problem with electromagnetic smog. And that would actually make a lot of sense, because Europe, their regulatory agencies, has declared that the acceptable level, there's no such thing as acceptable level of electromagnetic radiation being exposed to biological organisms, but they have just said, since you can't avoid it altogether, the acceptable level will be 10 milliwatts per square centimeter. In our country, the FCC has decided arbitrarily that our acceptable level of exposure will be 1,000 milliwatts per square centimeter, 100 times the amount that Europe has decided. Now, the only reason they would be able to get away with that, you've just said something that makes perfect sense, and it just put a light bulb in my head. I was wondering how in the world Europe was able to keep their standards low to 10 milliwatts per square centimeter, because it's just hard to get it down that low with these kind of meters. Well, you just explained it. They have DC power, and therefore they don't have to have the switching mode power supply in the meter, and they don't have to disrupt the incoming current. So they must have a much quieter environment in terms of EMF in Europe. And that would make sense, because they are more aware of it. They are more sensitive of it. They do have more strict standards on it. They are better sort of technicians, you might say, and they understand this. Americans are walking around having no clue. You know, how many Americans have gone through engineering classes and understand what these meters are doing to them? And, you know, and to be fair to Americans, they shouldn't have to worry about it. But all of a sudden, somebody comes along and makes a harmful meter. Now, that's going to catch everybody completely off guard. You mean my electric company is actually assaulting me? Why do I have to deal with that? Where did that come from? You know, why would they want to do that? Wouldn't there be huge liabilities? Aren't these electric companies, you know, stepping into major risk and liability by doing that? Well, of course they are. It makes no sense whatsoever. But they are obstinate about pushing these meters.
So are they now, bearing in mind, and I do want to make the point before I forget to make the point, PG&E is Pacific Gas and Electric. That is, for those of you who are movie fans, that is the same company that was involved in the famous case of hexavalent chlorine in pollution in California that Erin Brockovich, the movie, and the person were all over, and where she won that massive award. This is the same criminal outfit that you saw in the movie, and they're the same ones foisting the meters on Californians as we speak. Do we have such short memories that we forget who these people are?
Yeah. Well, you know, the exposure to certain chemicals and things and this misbehavior that these corporations do usually can be tracked down to some kind of profit motive or shareholder protection or some kind of thing. You know, they're trying to do something to benefit the shareholders or to benefit the company. What's going on now is different. It makes no sense for power companies to impose unlawful surveillance, unlawful exposure to radiation, and to expose themselves to this huge liability. There is, you know, it seems crazy, but I can only see this as a deliberate assault, a deliberate attempt to harm, damage, injure, and kill people. It can't be interpreted any other way. It's extremely stupid. Why would you take this huge risk of putting this radiation into a device, you know, and having it disrupt the electromagnetic integrity of the structural current of every single structure in the city? This compounds over neighborhoods, you know, and this compounds with your microwave, with your cell phone, with your Wi-Fi computer. This is compounding Wi-Fi wireless exposure, electromagnetic exposure that is not shown to be safe in any test or in any historical model at all. We are going way beyond. It's like we know this is poison, but we don't know how much we can do before all of society gets cancer, so we'll just keep adding it until they get cancer. I don't know what they're thinking.
Do you see it as related to Agenda 21 and their population reduction plans? I mean, I can't myself see any other real explanation.
There's no other explanation. And in fact, yeah, you're exactly right. You're looking around for something that makes sense of this, and nothing makes sense of it. And you find Agenda 21, and you say, okay, well, you know, if there's environmental extremists who think that basically it seems like their opinion is that you have to, through some genocidal program, eliminate 4/5 of the world's population, then this makes total sense. But you know, that is certainly scary. And
that's also not an easy sell to the great unwashed, is it?
No.
One thing that we did not discuss, and in which I think people, it's vitally important that people understand, is the surveillance aspect and what the powers of these meters, when they are fully implemented, because as we understand it, they're not fully operational yet. They're operating on a low level right now.
Right.
They're still causing problems,
right,
but they're operating at a low level, and they're not operating at present to their full capabilities. But we talk about the surveillance aspect of the smart meters. We haven't gotten into that, and I think that's absolutely critical because it makes my skin crawl to think that some bureaucrat somewhere who's got his finger on a button can say when people can use their hydro that they're paying for and when they can't.
Well, you can already get an assessment. If you call your power company and you are make the mistake of inviting them to come out to your house and actually set foot in your house, don't do this, I'm not recommending, but I've heard of people who have had this happen where for some reason they've invited the power company has offered this or come out, and they will come in and they say, let me do an energy assessment for you. And even in this day and age, before we have, as you say, the full implementation of the surveillance capabilities, they will come into your house, and I bet you Hydro can do this about anywhere, and they will say, okay, now last week, 3 days, you used your laundry at 2 p.m. Now that's peak time. Now that's something pretty soon we're going to have a penalty on. You're going to pay $80 every time you do that. So you're going to have to change your habits to do your laundry at 2 a.m, you know, so you don't have to pay those penalties. And also, it seems like you're running some kind of a blender 3 times a day. Now you should only be drinking a smoothie once a day, why are you using your blender so often? Because those blenders really do cause a lot of draw, sudden draw, and those are problems with the power grid. So here you have some guy standing in your house telling you about the intimate details of your electricity usage and revealing to you that they essentially have a camera on you 24/7 inside your home. And, you know, I've heard people tell these stories, and I say, are you not absolutely terrified by this? I mean, these people are looking at you under a microscope. And why would you allow this kind of surveillance into your home? And they're able to do this right now, and they don't need this. You know, what you suggested is later on they will have the smart, what they call the smart appliances, and they will all be operating on what they call a home area network. And the home area network will then, of course, take it to the next level, which is that if you are operating an appliance in a way and in a time that the power company does not agree you should be able to do or should be doing, that they will actually control that. And they won't do it by coming in and watching and monitoring. The mechanisms in the appliance and in the smart meter do it automatically.
So yeah, that's pretty scary.
Your appliance
and
is brought
tell
down
you, to... In Ontario, they have already got peak time usage surcharges.
Yeah, they've already got it.
Right. So if you're doing your wash before 7 p.m.,
right.
Okay, you're going to get peak billing on that washing.
Yep.
So everybody, you know, they started out doing peak billing before 9 p.m., and there was a huge stink in the Ontario legislature. Well, wait a minute. People are coming home. They're turning on their stoves to cook dinner. They're doing their laundry after dinner. They're turning off their TV after dinner. You're talking about 2 hours out of the evening when everybody's using power, and you're asking them to pay more?
Yeah.
And that was the big stink. It's already gone through the Ontario legislature. The legislature's response to that was to move the time frame back to 7 p.m. from 9.
Right. So now
you're still supposed to eat late and cook late and do all that stuff late because they say so.
Yeah, if you get off at 5 and you want to have dinner at 6, you got to pay a penalty for that lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a whole new world, and people are not paying attention, and they're not protesting in the street, and they're not screaming, and they're not demanding. You know, I mean, I see it as forcing us into rather extreme modes, either modes of protest, modes of paying higher electricity bills, or modes of finding alternative means of power which are off-grid and which are independent and self-sufficient and self-reliant. And, you know, those are ideal, but they're so expensive and difficult because we've been conditioned into this lifestyle where institutions provide these things for us, and we don't know anything about building our own little home power plant and having our own solar system. And, you know, we don't get that in school. We don't get that from anywhere. You know, so I'm always reminded of some research I did, and I stumbled on the fact that during World War II, when gasoline was rationed, the farmers in the Midwest and the United States figured out how to generate and create their own hydrogen and use hydrogen gas as fuel in their tractors. Now, this is documented, happened all across the Midwest. Now, these were some brilliant, self-reliant people. We don't have that anymore. You know, somebody has to do something as simple as get a solar system or a wind generator on their house, and it's just a massive challenge for them because they don't have engineering training and math training, and they don't have the mechanical experience, and we're all letting other entities do all those things for us, and we're all letting ourselves be surrounded by these large institutions that solve all these problems and provide all these benefits, and we are so far now from being self-reliant that basically we're slaves.
Exactly.
You know,
it's the inconvenience of convenience, and that's how they sold it to it. Is
right.
Look how much easier your life will be if,
and
then
it is
of course
easier.
As a result of that we lose all our skills. But in addition to that little point you just made about those self-reliant farmers, I have a little brief story to tell you.
Yeah.
My late husband used to work for Ford of Canada. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're hired by Ford of Canada into their offices, their regional offices, the first thing they do is they send you down to Detroit. And they give you an orientation on Ford and, of course, you know, the glories of the company and yada, yada. But then they take you to the Ford Museum and show you the great accomplishments of the Ford Motor Company ever since Henry. Okay. And one of the things that they show you is a restricted area of the Ford Museum. Now, my late husband told me about this back in 1977, and I was flabbergasted by what he said. He said, inside this restricted area, which is only viewable by staff, you can see all of the alternative energy modalities mm-hmm. that Ford Motor Company has come up with over the last 100 years, and for over 50 years they've had viable vehicles that did not run on fossil fuels. They've
sure,
had them,
well,
they've suppressed them, and here
yeah.
we're faced with the same stupid stuff
yeah.
going on in all these other aspects, including the smart meters.
I have a picture of an Alice Chalmers tractor from 1949, and it's a fuel cell tractor.
Wow.
And you can see the fuel cells in it. I mean, the whole center point under the steering wheel is fuel cells. And you just put hydrogen in that thing, and you plow your field. And that was 49, and it looks like an old, funky, you know, old thing to be half buried in dirt out in the desert somewhere. That style of tractor, that round fender type of look.
Uh-huh.
And here it is. And here it is, guy sitting right on it out in the field, fuel cell. So
uh-huh.
yeah. And that thing lasted about a year or so. And then somebody, you know, whenever anything like that comes around, of course, somehow, you know, the Standard Oil of the time or the Texaco or whoever it is will come in and with some lawsuit or some, you know, attack of some kind. And within a year, it's gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look what happened to Tesla.
Yep.
I mean, that was a real low blow on humanity right there. The man had, through his Tesla towers, he had the technology to supply free electrical energy to anybody everywhere in the world. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, J.P. Morgan came along, owner of General Electric, and said, no profit in that. That was the end of Tesla.
Yeah, I think the problem was you couldn't meter it. You know, I don't say that people who generate electricity shouldn't make money. Now, Tesla's system does require generation on the head end. I mean, you have to produce that energy, and you have to essentially transmit it and broadcast it into the atmosphere. Now you can collect it for free, but there would be a cost to generate it. And in a sense, J.P. Morgan was right. The only way you could have that work is if you had somebody contributing the original generation on the head end. And
so couldn't they do that by taxation?
Well,
I mean,
if
people could pay a flat fee and guarantee that they had their power, wouldn't they be happy to do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's an argument about you know, self-reliance there, and there are people who want to argue socialism versus individual, you know, or capitalism or whatever. You know, you can get into all those. You know, once you get reliant on the institutions, you are sort of like, I look at public transportation like that. You know, there's strikes, there's huge accidents, there's all kinds of problems with public transportation that the people who push it never mention. You know, so there are downsides to either way you go. But there are also the downside with Tesla, whereas if you're walking around with an umbrella with a metal stem, you're going to pull in a lightning bolt from that Tesla coil. You know, anything pointing up in the air with a metal conductor will draw electricity out of that collective, you might say. So there are impractical problems with the Tesla model. I think both economic, political, and technical. But I mean, not that they couldn't be solved, all of them, one way or another, and come up with some sort of either compromise or hybrid or some other technical advance that makes things better and come up with a political model or an economic model that does finally work. Tesla just broke the ice, and he showed us that there was a huge potential there.
Well, somebody can stick a couple of electrodes in a potato and light a light bulb, I figure there's got to be potential.
That's right.
Jerry, I did have a couple.
We did that in high school. Come on, guys. We're made of electricity.
Anything we're made of, we are electrochemical beings. That's right. That's the problem with the electromagnetic radiation. There is what's called electromagnetic induction, And any time you have a wireless field, and this might have been a big problem with Tesla, because what is he doing? He's putting wireless electromagnetic energy into the air, and he's inducing that into our bodies. Now, this is sort of like smart meters times 1,000. That's what Tesla was proposing. That's why I say he didn't have it all worked out. We would have had to probably do it in a way to where we could isolate it to higher atmospheric zones, put super tall masts, so there's you don't have this EMF field right down where we're all walking around, living and breathing. But something would have had to be done because we are electrical devices, as you say, and we are subject to electromagnetic induction. And when you put a human body in the path of wireless energy, electromagnetic energy, you have induction, and you have damage to cells, damage to DNA, neurological illness and injury, birth defects, cancers. Those things do result.
Yeah, so and I'm looking at some information that has come out in the last few weeks. This is the first time I've been exposed to it. I'm sure it's been around a while. But they're talking about new smart devices that people can carry that literally allow them to X-ray objects and people. Oh, and they're on the terahertz field of EMF, mm-hmm. which is exactly like what the TSA is using in backscatter screening at airports.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very, very dangerous. People are being taught to treat this stuff like it's a toy.
Right, right. Well, I'm waiting for all the TSA people to start dropping dead. My understanding is they don't even allow them to have radiation badges, radiation detectors on the job.
And I also noticed, I was just looking at the smart meter on my own house just before we started the show, and there's no United Laboratory or Universal Laboratories. There's no UL approval. There's no CSA approval. There's no approval of anybody on these meters.
No, well, there's a reason for that. The UL approval is for consumer-operated devices, and the meter is not considered a consumer-operatable device. And what the UL rating is supposed to do is prevent fires and shocks and malfunctions. Now, there have been something like 900,000-plus fires attributed to the smart meters. And everybody, you know, who hates smart meters points that out as a hazard of the smart meter, and it's actually not. What that is your power company has been told by Agenda 21 people, the UN or whoever, you know, let's figure out who it is. They have been told and commanded to install these things so fast and so many of them that they do not have time to make a proper appointment to tell the homeowner to shut off their electricity and to shut off the breakers and to replace the meter. And what they do is they come out to your house and swap the meter out without shutting down your load, your power.
It's under a full load. These guys are doing it
under a full load.
Isn't that illegal?
Well, let me tell you. I have to tell you what this means. When they shove that thing in, there's an arcing because there's a load there, and it's just like a welding machine. It shoots a crater into the contact on the meter. And that crater reduces the conductivity in the connection, and that meter becomes a resistor and heats up.
Oh, lovely.
Wow.
And you get a fire, and your house gets burned down. And that
I saw a YouTube on a fire caused by a smart meter a little while ago, and this thing, you could see it starting to smoke. And they had the video of it, like, right from the inception of the thing starting to catch fire, because somebody noticed it and grabbed a video camera, and they watched as this thing literally ate away the wall of the house with flames and went inside the house through the whole wiring system and was burning the house fully involved within minutes.
Well, it would have been a good idea to call the fire department while you're videotaping, but...
Well, they did that. The fire department, you could hear the sirens in the distance, by the time the fire department arrived...
Yep.
And it wasn't very long. The whole house was involved.
Yeah,
Jerry,
sure. I have a
couple of questions, specific questions, if you wouldn't mind addressing. One is there any use in the person trying to shield their smart meter in terms of putting some leadened metal behind it or anything to prevent?
Yes and no. There's all kinds of considerations there. The problem is electromagnetic radiation and the way smart meters create it is complex and variable. So the shielding is helpful in some ways at some times, but not always. And don't use lead. You don't need to use lead. You can use tin foil. If you have a child sleeping in a bedroom and there's a smart meter outside the wall anywhere near the bed, line the inside of the wall with mylar foil or tin foil, something metallic and reflective. Absolutely, especially if you know that that meter is in transmit mode. But remember that a lot of the problem from the digital meters is electrosmog caused by the switching mode power supply disrupting your incoming current. And so that is transmitted as smog pollution, electromagnetic pollution, throughout your house in random patterns and pockets based on the characteristics of your wiring and based on the characteristics of your grounding on your plumbing. And so you're getting antenna transmissions from your plumbing and your wiring in random patterns. And this can happen not just from smart meters, but from certain appliances like space heaters, large wattage appliances, and this and that. And so the shielding does not protect you in that from that. The shielding only protects you from the direct transmitted high-energy density pulsed radiation. Not to say that isn't a problem, but also people quite often make the mistake of going outside and putting a big bunch of tinfoil or something or a Faraday cage around the meter on the outside. Well, that reflects it to the inside of the house, so obviously don't do that.
The instructions that I saw basically said, remember to do the back or it's all for naught.
Yeah, and I don't think there's really much point in doing the outside unless it's right out there where the kids are playing or something like that. It's usually on a part of the house where there's not much traffic or activity. I mean, here's the other part of that. If you go ahead and you shield all that, what is the power company going to do? They're going to come out and they're going to penalize you and they're going to, you know, scream because what are they doing? They're not getting the data that they think they're entitled to steal from you. So you're going to block their data. So it's almost like saying, I'll give you an easement to put a surveillance device on my house and then I'll try to prevent it from working. So you're sending the mixed messages. Either you allow surveillance devices on your house or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't allow it on there and then shield it.
Yeah. See, in my situation, I'm a tenant.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So my landlord, who lives upstairs from me, had the smart meter installed, and he's oblivious. Well, so did the guy next door. So
I got
my
patio
is in between the two houses,
mm-hmm.
and, 10 feet from my patio table on one side, I've got my smart meter.
Yeah.
10 feet from my patio table, I got their smart meter.
I want to give you a suggestion because you got a kind of fun thing you can do when you're a tenant. A lot of people say, "Well, now I'm really in trouble because I don't have right of property ownership and I can't go head to head with the power company." And I tell them, "You've got an advantage in a way. You're going to have the landlord become your champion, and here's why. You're going to go to your landlord and you're going to say, here's a little letter. I've signed this under a notary. This is an affidavit. I'd just like to give you this little notice here," or, you know, you serve it to them legally, whatever. If you want to do that, go all the way. This letter says, "I would like to see your insurance policy covering me for liability for hazards from the digital meter. I'd like to see your insurance policy indemnifying me against the violation of my rights of privacy by your meter. I'd like to make sure you're insured against that." And your landlord is going to go to his insurance company and going to go, "Oh my God, my tenants are reminding me of a liability here. I want to make sure this is on my policy." And their insurance company is going to say, "No way, buddy. We can't control what your power company puts on your building. We don't know what they're doing. And the insurance companies know that these things are fire hazards. They know that these things are causing disruption of the incoming sine wave and causing electromagnetic smog. They know they're putting out transmissions of high energy density radiation. No way will in the insurance company insure a landlord against liability for this. No way. So what's going to happen now? Look where you're going with this. You've got a landlord who can't get insurance against something. Who do you think would be easier to sue, the power company or your landlord?" The landlord is a sitting duck, and that landlord had better get off his behind and go tell that power company to get those digital meters off of his property. And he's going to learn that sooner or later if the tenants hold him to it and say, I'm going to, okay, you're my landlord, I'm just going to sue you blind if I get sick from this thing. And by the way, here's a whole bunch of data that shows people do get sick from these. So I now have a claim. I'm going to start my claim against you right now because you've allowed this thing to be on my house. You know, I mean, these landlords are so vulnerable to this. And when they find out...
Yeah, and I know one lady in Vancouver whose apartment was above the hydrometer room, and there were 8 smart meters installed underneath her bedroom.
Yeah.
She got so sick so quickly, she had to move.
Oh, yeah. No, I get people calling me all the time.
You know, this should have been liability on her landlord.
Absolutely. She has an open-shut case. All she has to do is have a doctor say, yes, she got sick when they installed the meters.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
as Eunice St. Clair was pointing out earlier, she said doctors are being forcibly told not to admit to electromagnetic sensitivities.
Yeah, interesting they would have to tell doctors that, isn't it?
Yeah, ain't it, though? I mean,
who's
indemnified here? You look at the insurance companies, they're indemnifying themselves by not covering anything.
See, I love to write up little notes.
They haven't updated policies.
Wait, I love to write up little notes for people. I write up notes for my doctor, and when I go into any hospital or any doctor, I hand them the receptionist a note that says, you have to disclose all charges prior to commitment. And I would love to write a little note, and I think everybody on the planet should write up a little note that says, if I get sick from electromagnetic radiation and I've reported the exposure to you and you do not warn me and you do not explain to me the hazards of electromagnetic radiation, you are fully liable for my illness.
Lovely.
You hand that to your doctor.
Jerry, another question I had, is it possible for the power company to selectively amplify the intensity of radiation to particular homes?
My understanding is that there are actual capabilities in these meters to go up 100 times in amplitude and to levels that there would never conceivably need. And that takes us back to Agenda 21. The only conceivable reason or purpose for that would be a large genocidal event.
Or they could use it selectively on people.
Well, of course they could. They can address those meters one at a time, and that would be the sort of the Orwellian concern, is that if you have, you know, they want to put you in fear. You know, if you have, you know, the idea is that if all of us get the idea that somebody opened their mouth like I do, or you know who knows who, and then. Somebody came and turned up their digital meter, and they died of leukemia or something. That we're all supposed to be afraid now and say, "Oh, okay, now we have a murdering, tyrannical government. We better all get real quiet and be obedient and be good slaves." You know, we're all supposed to go into fear, and we're all supposed to generate our own rumors, and we're all supposed to make our own presumptions, and we're all supposed to have our fear of all these conspiracy theories, as if they're theories. You know, most of them are just plain conspiracies, and we can easily show them to be real. But what I worry about, because I talk to people about this all the time, is that, you know, you can learn the truth and you can become more powerful, but at a certain point, if the truth starts to become scarier and scarier and scarier, now you have the actual opposite effect, where everyone says, whoa, we should live in fear. We are under assault. They do kill us. You know, so we need to parse this. We need to say, we need to hold our institutions accountable. We need to hold our public officials accountable. And we say, okay, what are you really doing to us? Let's look at this meter. Now, this meter is inappropriate. It's threatening our lives and our health and our safety and our privacy. Get this off my house. Here's a notice. Within 30 days, if you don't have this off my house, you're liable for whatever damages that occur from this. You know, and that's the kind of language that's in our legal notice. You were talking about freedomtaker.com. And I was encouraged, when I figured out a way to get these meters and get people the analog meters so they could do the replacements, I was encouraged to do it on a large scale, and I thought, holy cow, you can't just go in and tamper with your meter. I know they have, you have an easement that you've granted to your power company for that. So we have worked out the legal notice, and you put them on notice, and you say, this is an unlawful meter for this reason, X, Y, and Z. And now that means you must remove it, and I am giving you X number of days. It's usually between 7 to 21 days to get this meter off my house and replace it with a safe analog meter. Now, when they're on notice, they're given, you know, that if it ever goes into court, the judge looks at that and the judge says, well, they gave you fair notice. They gave you time. This is good faith. Why didn't you do this? And the power company will have no answer for that. And the standard operating procedure for courts is that, look, if they're treating you fairly, if they're giving you a chance, if they're putting you on notice, you have to do it. They informed you that you're violating the law. And you at least have to rebut that. You have, at least have to tell them why you're not violating the law, why you're not putting their health at risk. You have to answer that. Well, they can't answer it because the meters clearly do threaten your health and threaten your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So once you give them that notice, it basically shuts them down. And when that notice goes into default 21 days later or 7 days later, it depends on if you've got urgent health issues, then when it goes into default, you go out and you change your meter. And somebody comes to you and say, oh, you're tampering. No, I'm sorry, I'm not tampering. You have lost your right of easement by criminal misconduct. You have lost your right of easement by failing to respond to my lawful affidavit. You have lost your right of easement by misconduct. So you have no authority now. And if you want to step foot on my property, you're trespassing. You have to make an appointment. You have to tell me why you're coming on my property. You will be supervised on my property. And if you do anything other than what I have agreed to in writing, you will be arrested and taken into custody for trespass.
Excellent.
So that's the reversal of power.
Well, yeah, and boy, am I into that. Boy, am I into that. Now, one thing
about
that
time.
I was really pleased to see when I was nosing around the Freedom Taker website was that you have a number of things that are available for use by the consumer against the big power companies that are doing this. They're available at very reasonable cost. You even have a replacement meter kit. And all of this, thank God for small mercies, somebody has made it available in Canadian terms. Because often we find these innovative things and methods that we could use, but we can't use them in Canada, or we can't access them in Canada.
Right. Well, luckily the meters are standard, and I got enough calls from Canada, and I got to tell you, I'm very impressed the number of sharp people there in Canada that are awake to this and understand the problem. And I thought, man, you know, it's you look at the population size difference between U.S. and Canada. Canada, in my business, is way overrepresented in terms of their numbers. I get more calls from Canada per capita than the U.S. And so people in Canada either are under a greater level of assault from hydro, or they are just overall sharper and more awake, because I got a lot of calls. And so I said, okay, I've got to finally get this done. And I went ahead and put in the CCFR references, and I changed the wording of our legal notice, and we got it fully applicable to Canada. And we have, a full Canadian version of your safe electric meter and your legal notice and the whole deal.
There may be
things where it's advisable to go to a lawyer. Canada law and even provincial law will be different than, you know, U.S. law or state law or this or that. I'm not recommending or suggesting that we have all the answers or the final answer. If you have a lawyer or whatever, you want to run our notice by them. We've had people call us back and say, oh, I took your notice to our lawyer. And they said, great, this will protect you. This is good. This is strong. But some other lawyer might say, well, I'm going to beef this up, or this isn't the right approach or whatever. So we always recommend, we are not lawyers or anything, but we have the best we can do. And then everything you can do to protect yourself is always a good idea.
Well, we have lawyers on our side.
I've just got notice from the station. We're just almost to the end of the hour, and we need to close down. I wondered, Jerry,
well,
if you had any...
Yeah, information that I really wanted to close on, Christopher, was how people can access this information. It's critical that we have it. Some of it is on citizensforsafetechnology.org, but you've got some stuff that CST does not offer, and I think it's really important that people check out freedomtaker.com.
Okay.
Not only for the availability of these items and ideas that can help, but also because of the philosophy that it presents. And philosophy that it presents is your freedom is yours as long as you keep it, as long as you take it. But freedom isn't automatic to anyone.
Yeah, it sounds a little offensive. You know, freedom taker, oh, am I taking something? Am I mean? No. Freedom doesn't exist if you don't take it, and if someone has to grant it to you, it's not freedom.
That's
freedom
right.
is only taken. And
yeah, we
so,
need an order for replevy on all our freedoms because they've been yanked, and we
right.
need to yank them right back. And it's people
yeah.
like you who make it possible for us out here to do that kind of thing. And so we're very grateful. We agree with Una that you're a hero, and thank you for standing up for all of us.
Well, thank you for the work you guys do.
We have to bring you back.
Sure,
and
anytime.
We have to, you know, get people aware because
very
this
good.
Stuff is very critical.
We're
well,
doing great
again
work.
Thank you for joining us today, Jerry, and I hope we do this
thank
again
you.
Real soon.
Okay,
anytime,
so thank you, Jerry. We are needing to bring it to a close here. Thanks, Jerry. I hope we get you back again. I would like for us to pursue this issue further, and thanks for your brave efforts there in California.
Happy to. I enjoyed it. Thank you. Good luck.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Bye-bye. Oh,
Adi, we're
wow.
right down at the top of the hour, but just very quickly tell us what we got on tap next week, in 2 weeks' time.
Okay. Well, like I said earlier, Shelley Ann Clark is coming on the 26th of the month, and Shelley is the activist who was the executive secretary to Mr. Gervais, who was the head of the or third man, actually, on the U.S.-Canada Free Trade Agreement, 1988. He was on the delegation. She's exposing all of the fraud and the sellout of our water and all kinds of nastiness. This is going to be one hell of a show, people. And if you had any doubt before that your government is crooked and your government is doing things behind your back, she's going to wake you up.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay, thank you, BBS Radio. This is Dee Nicholson from Toronto and Christopher Holmes from Ottawa. My website's at www.zeropoint.ca. I've just recently posted a movie up on chemtrail poisoning of the citizens of Ottawa. And Dee, I gave copies of my chemtrail poisoning of the citizens of Kempville, a half-hour documentary on chemtrails, and I gave it to my city council last week. So
excellent.
Let's see what they have to say.
Time to do a YouTube, darling.
Well, yeah, my one is up on YouTube, but this one was too long to go on YouTube. I don't know how. I'm only learning, so I have to get it up on YouTube.
Yeah,
but anyway, we're down to the bottom of the hour. Thanks, BBS Radio. Thanks, Dee. This is Christopher Holmes. We'll be back in 2 weeks.